The Lord is my shepherd. I find this language very interesting. In fact, I always find language interesting. I'm a bit of a word geek. And we use words to describe things, we eat, things we know, things we interact with. And from a philosophical point of view, this arena of the language that we use is known as the limits of our horizon. It is the arena of each of our known language, ideas, and images. So it begins at home with the patience of our dear mothers and fathers who train us with their language and ideas. And then it broadens and the horizon grows and stretches through our life. And so the limits of our horizon is the sum total of all the influences that make us as individuals who we are, how we have been socialized through our histories and our political contexts, and the words and images and ideas that get given to us and that grow inside us. That is what we use to interpret our experiences. So those of us who have immigrated will know this really well, or those of us who've been exposed to other cultures when we travel. You had that experience when you're describing something, an experience that you've had, something that you've eaten, and the other person's eyes are completely glazed over. They have no concept of what you're trying to describe because our horizons are different. I think in our era, we're also noticing it between generations. Human creativity is expanding so quickly that one generation's conceptual arena, the limits of their horizon, is not the same as the generation following. And it's like we're talking a different language. Now, Jesus encounters this when he uses the image of the shepherd to his hearers. His hearers, folks who were schooled in Jewish teachings and readings, would understand shepherd as unfaithful leaders of Israel. They were historically known as the bad shepherds. In the 8 o'clock service, I said, bad shepherds. I was just kind of trying to wake people up at 8 o'clock. Bad shepherds who actually consigned their flock, the people they were looking after, to the wolves. If you remember the stories of our Hebrew scriptures, you will know that there were some kings who made allies to enemies of Israel and really consigned the flock of Israel to these other nations. And so there was this concept of bad shepherds. And then throughout the Hebrew scriptures, God is being presented as the future shepherd of Israel, the good shepherd, who would once again gather the flock from all these different nations. And as the Israelite kings went from bad to worse, the prophets actually began to imagine a future king in the line of David who would shepherd the people, where one shepherd would emerge, a good shepherd. And so Jesus picks up the concept of shepherd and expands it beyond these folks' imagination, beyond their horizon of language and concepts. Never before had they conceived of a good shepherd who would lay down his life. That was not in their language, not in their arena. Never before had they heard of a human being with divine qualities. And here Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, the Father and I are one. This was foreign. Never before had they heard of a shepherd who would announce that there were other sheep to belong to this flock, this whole flock. And so Jesus' horizon was different, surpassed, different to the limits of this nation's horizon. And it must have been incredibly unsettling. And we see evidence of that in their response that we read. And when we think about our conversations today, there are many instances where our language and images of God shift and expand. For when we experience a spiritual reality, a closeness of God, of the divine, in some way, we make use of the words and concepts that we have, that are nearest to us and dearest to us. And so those of us who have been raised with a faith tradition have this array of images, of words available to us. But many have not. And I think it is good news that there are different images being used for God, because, my friends, it means that God is still revealing God's self to humanity, and they are digging deep to try and find words to describe what they are experiencing. Our language and images of God are an ever-expanding arena. Now, for me, the concept of shepherd, while beautifully written in Psalm 23 and John's Gospel, has some resonance, but I think I've only ever seen, and from a distance, three shepherds in my entire life. But I am drawn to this human character that Jesus outlines. One who knows me intimately. One whose voice I can recognize. And I think of my grandmother. I think of my closest and dearest friend, Hina. I think of my South African friend, Brad, who is like a brother to me. For when they phone, they do not have to tell me who they are. And no matter how many months have gone by, when we talk, I know that I am known deeply. And I know them. And this is the personal experience as we encounter the risen Christ. As I was talking with the kids during the children's lesson, we were talking about overusing the name of God. And sometimes in our traditions, we can overuse images of God such that they might become idols, static. God, we think of them as God, God's self. For God is not a shepherd. God is like a shepherd. And perhaps the better way of understanding these images is through the use of the word icon. A better way for us to understand language that is actually a window into God rather than God's self. And I use the word icon here in the sense of the Eastern Orthodox tradition, where it is a two-dimensional, flat, reflective painting that if you looked at it, you can't really recognize who or what is on there, but it symbolically takes you beyond our realities and opens up a different frame of reference, a new horizon for us. The author, Jean Marion, speaks about icons. He says that an icon does not result from a vision, but it provokes a vision. It moves us deeper in to who God is for us in this moment. So whether we call God our Father, our Mother, our Shepherd, our Best Friend, King, Lamb, the Everlasting Arms, our words will always fall short at the mystery of one who is beyond us, never fully known, and yet calls us God's own. And in fact, the most timeless image of God is in fact the living human being. You and I. We are the imago Dei. We are image bearers of God. I love the story that I heard on a podcast the other day by Rabbi Lawrence Kushner, a longtime student of the Kabbalah, the Jewish mystical tradition. And he says that he was leading this tour through the sanctuary for the preschool children at their synagogue. And as they were moving through to their little prayer stage, he thought that he would show them the ark where the scroll of the Torah was kept. But it was only accessible through this big floor-to-ceiling curtain that was hanging down. So he gets them up on stage, and he was about to call them and say, let's open the ark. But the teacher behind them was tapping her watch, of course, was saying, your time is up, old man. So he said, well, I'll tell you this, boys and girls. We'll come back when we get together in a couple of weeks, and we'll come back here, and we will see what's behind that curtain. So his good children, they nodded and said, Shalom, Rabbi, and they went back to class. The next day, the teacher came, showed up at his office, and said that there was fierce debate while they were having their lunchtime at what was behind the curtain. The one child said, this child obviously destined to become a professor of nihilistic philosophy, said, nothing, there's nothing behind that curtain. Another child said, a little bit less imaginative, said, oh, there's a Jewish holy thing behind that curtain. The third child, the rabbi says, obviously a devotee of American game show television culture, said, there's a brand new car behind that curtain. That's what's there. But it was the fourth child that the rabbi was most drawn to. The fourth child said, you're all wrong. Next week when the rabbi comes and opens that curtain, behind it will be a giant mirror. If we are indeed the image of God to our world, then how will we shepherd our world? How will we walk near living creatures who need encouragement? And in light of the latest United Nations reports on extinction and global warming, how will we ensure that not a single creature goes astray? How will we make sure that there is enough pasture for all to graze? And what will it mean for us to lay down our wealthy, comfortable lives for the sake of others who do not have, and for the sake of the next generation? For how will we be shepherd-like as we live and move with the risen Christ in our times? Now, Bobby McFerrin, the much-loved vocal innovator and improviser, is a world-renowned classical conductor, and he got to know God as shepherd in the love of his mother, and he reworked Psalm 23 to bear witness to her love. And the choir is going to sing it for us now, and the words are printed in your bulletin, not for you to join in the singing, but for us to sit silently and meditate on them as we hear them.